This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, into the 9 o'clock hour we go. Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. Seth, you told me before the show that my people are trying to lure you into a dark world with player prop bets.
Yes.
And that this worked on you.
This is apparently the trend now with gambling, now that there's more and more stats on all the different web gambling and everything, is that the player props are getting more and more popular. And I can see why. I think as we have a lot of listeners a lot of times after we talk about gambling, and I'm pretty basic and novice level. You know, they'll either DM or text in questions about gambling to where I realize, okay, we probably got a little too technical there. Especially whenever you start going with the version of the line where you're talking plus 300 or plus 400, you lose a whole lot of people. I think with the player props, when it's, okay, how many touchdowns will Travis Kelce have this season, or how many receptions will he have this game? It's a lot more easy to digest for people. And apparently there was one house last week where they took more bets on Travis Kelce's touchdown total than they did on the actual game itself.
Yeah.
The actual Kansas City game itself.
Yep.
So, and apparently a lot of that was because they think, because Pat McAfee put it as part of his parlay. So Pat McAfee affected gambling to that degree.
Dude,
that there were like 25,000 bets placed on Travis
Kelce. That is influence right there, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
He's their gambling Jesus. And he doesn't even, I don't think he even really, he's not all that serious about his gambling advice either.
No. Well, but his big sponsor is FanDuel, which.
Right. Oh, no. Yeah. He's serious about encouraging you to go to FanDuel.
Sure.
But I don't think he thinks that people are looking at him like an actual gambling.
He's
expert.
Not a handicapper. Yeah.
Right,
he's not
right,
a handicapper.
Yeah.
I'd have to go watch the segment, but if you're asking me, if you're telling me that Pat McAfee said that he thinks Travis Kelce's going to score a touchdown. You know, with his Pittsburgh accent there, I think Travis Kelce's going to score a touchdown. That's him just saying that is probably enough to do it. Like without any sort of analysis, a handicapper would say, you know, I think Travis Kelce's going to score a touchdown because the Los Angeles Chargers are 25th in the league at covering tight ends. And Travis Kelce is a good tight end. Pat McAfee can probably just go on there and just wing it and say that. And everybody's like, oh, McAfee said it. And that's what's crazy about the world we live in now with like the gambling proliferation is there's so many squares out there. You know, like
a square.
Square better. Like a novice better who's just betting on emotion or betting. Hey, Travis Kelce's good.
Well, and part of that was part of a parlay, which is another notorious thing that they try to lure us squares in with is the parlay, because it's so simple. This is who's gotten by parlays. Square gamblers like myself and Bill O'Brien as a team builder. Because a parlay is when several things have to happen. So Travis Kelce has to get two touchdowns. The Bills have to score more than 30 points, and then something else has to happen. And if all those things happen, you're going to get $50,000.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Bill O'Brien's method of team building was like, this is all that has to happen.
Right.
We have to get the career best performances out of this guy. We got to pay more than this guy is worth, but he does something that he's never done before, and then everybody stays healthy, and then we'll win the Super Bowl. It's basic.
The problem for Bill O'Brien's parlay is he was not risking a small amount to get that big payoff.
When you do
a four-game parlay, you know you're losing a small amount to potentially win a big amount. When you do what Bill O'Brien did, you feel the effects of every single bet that you made.
he was gambling like he was taking, like he was just doing the gambling the line on one.
Yeah.
So I guess that's where I got pulled into it yesterday was when I found out from somebody in the parking lot at whatever they call Rich Stadium up there in Buffalo anymore these days. Is it Empower Field?
That's Denver.
Is it? What is it? Is it?
I'll look it up. Go ahead. But it's the field in
Buffalo.
So up
there in Orchard Park. Yeah. And my brother-in-law said it was super windy, and I guess there was supposed to be potentially some bad weather coming through.
Yeah.
I texted Sean immediately. I said, Sean, take the over on Josh Allen rushing yards.
Right.
And without even knowing what they were.
Right.
But I wanted a taste. I had to get a taste of it because I just knew in my soul that Josh Allen was going to run for more than it eventually ended up being 40.5 yards. Was the over under?
Yeah.
He had 10 in the game.
Yeah. One carry for 10 yards. And before anybody thinks I'm any sort of smart bettor, you know, before anybody's going to go through the gates of hell with my advice tucked under your arm, hoping that you can somehow get out of the gates of hell, know that my response to Seth on weather in Buffalo was, ooh, inside information. I like that. It's weather. You can look it up on a weather app. Anybody can get that information.
Necessarily. Not the actual weather at that spot, because weather changes. It's incredibly local. I was sitting in a park this last weekend, and I was sitting and contemplating the trees. I swear this is 100% true.
I know, that's why I'm laughing.
I was just trying to be present and be in the moment, and I did notice I was just looking at the trees, and there was just one little set of rustling trees. That's where the wind was hitting right that moment.
Okay.
And I found it fascinating. There was just this one little band of wind going through there. And yet to a bird in that tree, that wind was all that mattered, Sean.
No.
So to my brother-in-law, the little birdie in that parking lot yesterday, that was the little band of wind that he was getting. So what did I know?
It was Hurricane Fiona for your brother there in the parking lot. Like, it's wind! It's wind! Oh, my God! Highmark Stadium,
by the way. Hallmark Stadium?
Highmark.
Highmark Stadium. Yeah. Somebody said, by the way, because this has happened twice today, said, why do you seem to suddenly refer a lot to a lot of Jesuses, like baseball Jesuses, Altuve, or gambling Jesuses, McAfee? I would tell you the explanation for that is that I saw a funny meme this morning of Jose Altuve as baseball Jesus, and it's stuck in my head. And so that's why.
There you go.
Don't worry. It's not going to be a long-standing thing. It's not like how I say whatnot all the time, apparently.
You do?
Somebody pointed it out to me, and now I can't not hear it every single time I say it.
No, so. I'm not going to be able to not hear it every time you say it. Stop saying it.
Well, good. Maybe I'll stop saying it.
Okay.
It's apparently very annoying.
Hey, did you see?
I'll be the whatnot Jesus. I'll be the Jesus of not saying whatnot.
Worst Jesus ever.
Nick Saban style when I do my
lamest Jesus ever. Did you see this? We didn't mention this when we were doing the segment with the three big comebacks, the previous segment where we talked about the three big comebacks this weekend in the NFL. Did you see that the video of the fan slapping Kyler Murray as he walked by?
I haven't seen the video. I read this and then I neglected to do the deep, deep, heavy research of typing it into my search browser.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. There's two bits of information that I haven't seen yet. So you're going to have to explain to me the Kyler Murray slap. And the second thing is this. You know, one of my longstanding peeves these days is when somebody will write a story about a slur being used and that not tell me what the slur is.
Yeah.
Because apparently BYU was apparently – a couple times now, BYU has had a anti-Mormon slur chanted at them.
Yeah, at Oregon.
At football stadiums.
Yeah, Oregon played BYU this week, and they were chanting, bleep the Mormons. Bleep the Mormons is what
they
were.
What's the slur?
I don't think there was a slur. I think they were chanting bleep the more that I know of.
Well, Sean, they do this in these articles, and they won't give you a single hint as to what was actually said. And I don't know when this trend started, but it's maddening to me. So regardless, I thought there was like some slur about Mormons that I didn't know.
Not that I know of.
I consider myself a connoisseur.
Not that I know. I've not done a deep dive on the story, but I believe I saw enough on Twitter where they were chanting bleep the Mormons at Oregon. And Oregon issued an apology. It wasn't the whole stadium chanting it. It was a group of people chanting it, evidently, at BYU. Yeah, the Murray. So back to the Murray one, I think, is the one that people are that people are interested in here. The Kyler Murray was kind of walking over to some spectators, Seth, after the game, high-fiving front row spectators at, now mind you, this is the opposing stadium. This is Allegiant Stadium. This is where the Raiders play in Las Vegas. And I saw the video, and it looked like there was a guy who appeared to reach out and hit Murray in the face with an open hand. The video is very chaotic because it's being taken kind of next to Kyler Murray by somebody with a phone. So you see the hand kind of come out and hit him, and mostly what you see is Kyler Murray's reaction. So it's hard for me to say, like, was this accidental? I don't think it was. If it was, I think some people probably would have come out and said it. They're apparently investigating it, the Las Vegas police. A battery complaint was made about 6:30 p.m. at the stadium. No report was available. A suspect was not immediately identified. But Kyler Murray started to go after whoever it was, and then his teammates kind of came over and pulled him away.
I don't – you know, the thing about that was it's hard to tell from the video now that I have it. I could see that as being a person trying to slap him on the shoulder pads, but he pulls away at the last moment.
Yeah.
Everybody in the picture looks pretty jubilant and happy. Like, they're not, there doesn't seem to be anybody taunting him or anything.
No.
So, I don't know. That'd be interesting.
That's what I thought when I saw it.
The person's not aiming for his face. Like, I thought it's clear he's not aiming for his face.
Right. No, the headline makes it sound like somebody walked over and like open hand slapped him in the face, like they were insulting him or something like that.
Yeah.
And if you watch the video, it's a little more, I don't know if complicated is the right word, it's a little more chaotic than that. Like, it's just,
it looks like somebody might be trying to hug him or something.
Yeah.
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 I would be careful about this because there might be another angle that shows that it was incredibly intentional. Just like the
100%.
There was a whole. I had a question about the Ray Rice incident once before the ultimate video came out.
Yes,
that I was kind of like, I just wanted to ask as a, and I'm glad I never asked it because when the actual video came out, I was like, oh yeah, that's bad. So, because Kyler Murray. That's the part of it that I would wonder is, like, I wonder if they said something or for Kyler Murray to feel like it was he was trying to get away and somebody was holding on to him
after the slap.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's why I don't like having that's why I never engaged in scoring touchdowns or 2-point conversions.
You didn't like scoring them because you'd have to celebrate afterwards.
Yeah, and risk personal harm.
Yeah,
the throngs of fans.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's good. That's a good reason. Otherwise, you were going to be a huge part of the game plan everywhere you went offensively. All right, Payne and Pendergast, 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. The Astros are AL West champs for the fifth time in 6 years. This is my plea. Next segment, Yordan Alvarez needs to stop doing one thing, and I will tell you what it is next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Astros are American League West champions for the fifth time in 6 years. They are headed 100 miles an hour towards being the one seed in the American League as well, so that's good. They're 8.5 games up on the Yankees. Yordan Alvarez seems to have his stroke back. That's good to see. Yeah. If there's one thing that I would ask Yordan to stop doing, Seth, you don't need to do this anymore. Stop hustling on the base paths and sliding into bases.
Well, wait a second there, Sean.
Yes.
If you want the Astros to put people out there that you want the youngsters to emulate, then shouldn't it be that, hey, the guy who still feels bad about thinking that ball earlier this season was a home run that ended up falling short when he turned a double into a single, he's not gonna mess around on the base pass, Sean. So he saw an opportunity yesterday to take – he had a hard-hit single to right field, but he turned it into a double. And he slid into second really, really hard because he's way faster than most people and even Yordan himself realize, I think.
Yeah.
I think when you watch Yordan, and I think Blum was saying something to this effect on the broadcast, like even Yordan himself doesn't realize how fast he's going sometimes. And it's a long distance for him to plop down onto the earth. From that height and that speed to all of a sudden drop down and slide into second, he got up slow. And rubbing his leg a little bit, and I got super nervous for a second.
That's my point. Yeah. That's my point. I don't need to feel super nervous. And the biggest thing is, I don't need that nervousness to actually be come from something that is a real injury. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what I'm worried about. Like, he didn't need to take an extra base right there. You don't need to be sliding hard into second, Yordan. Stop it.
I don't know. I think the thing about Yordan.
Stop having baseball character, Yordan.
There's too much baseball character out of you. You're a star now, Yordan.
Act like one.
Primp around a little bit. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Well, then it didn't stop there. He ended up coming home because of some heady base running. He perfectly anticipated exactly where Bregman's broken bat double was going to drop in left field. Yordan was halfway to third base by the time he saw it drop, and then he just digs an easy route to home from there. So it was Yordan, I think he gets credit for it locally at least, but I think nationally people probably – don't realize or wouldn't even suspect like how mature and heady he is as a player, because he just looks like such a big ox of a friendly dude who's very quiet and he's all muscle.
He's a gentle giant.
He's just a guy that gets up there and barely even knows what he's doing, just mashing it. But when you watch him, obviously, from his rookie year on, you realize just how smart he is at the plate.
Yeah.
With his approach and his discipline at the plate, his base running, all that stuff. It's just a joy to watch. And he was a player of the week last week.
Oh, was he?
I believe so.
Okay.
Altuve had a leadoff home run in this game.
Yeah.
It was a nice ended up being a way busier Monday sports evening than I had anticipated, because I'd forgotten about the two Monday night game thing. So between watching the Astros basically make easy work of the Rays, but then flipping, I don't have a wall of televisions the way you do, Sean, so I had to flip back and forth a lot.
Yeah, there's three of them, and it was built perfectly for last night. Two football games on top, and then the Astros game on the big TV right there. I didn't get to see Monday Night Raw. That's unfortunate, but I did get to see all the actual real sports I got to see.
What's is Raw every week? Is it all year long?
Monday Night Raw, man. No off season. It's been live every Monday night for 30 like years almost.
52 weeks a year?
Yes,
they don't
sir.
Take anything off?
Nope.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep. Every week. I'm looking.
What was the deal last night? What was the big storyline?
I don't know. I didn't get to see it. I was too busy watching football and baseball.
Do you generally know who's going to be like on the card on any given evening?
It's a 3-hour show, so they get pretty much everybody on there. It's a pretty grueling watch. 3 hours worth of wrestling on a Monday night.
So if you're hardcore wrestling fans, that's their. It's like Monday Night Football, but they do it every week all year long.
Absolutely.
On Monday nights.
Yes, sir.
There's no off season or anything.
No off season. Nope.
I gotta say, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
That is a grueling, I don't know. What do you call it? Not a sport. It's a grueling and athletic event that to be doing all year long. I know it's not the same people every single week, but
right.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Dude, and they travel all year. I mean, they're in different cities. You know, sports, half your games are at home. You're traveling, you're bumping around to different cities. It's quite the life. I'm looking at my speaking of Monday Night Football, I get the Athletic, like their little newsletter every morning, the Athletic Pulse. Which is it's actually a pretty good aid in sports talk radio because it gives you kind of the bullet points of what the bigger national stories are in the morning.
Yeah, sometimes we get stuck in our own little AL West drama.
Yeah.
Drama. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Our little AL West domination.
Yep.
As we're slapping a red rubber ball into the mouths of all these other AL West squads, sometimes we get distracted by that and don't pay attention to
that's
the
exactly
other
what I was thinking. Yes. Red rubber ball, yes. The headline on the newsletter for The Athletic, the Bills and Eagles are terrifying. The Bills are terrifying. Are the Eagles terrifying with Jalen Hurts? Are they overstating it a little bit?
Okay. The problem is that they were facing Kirk Cousins on a Monday night.
Yeah.
And Kirk Cousins is notoriously awful on Monday nights. Because I think the Eagles' defense looks really good on paper and in theory. I'm going to confess to this, Sean. I have a little bit of a 2006 Eagles hangover still, the Dream Team Eagles, to where whenever the Eagles start loading up on free agents or trade pieces like A.J. Brown, I remain skeptical of them. I think that Jalen Hurts is the big difference, though, here, in that Jalen Hurts, like a lot of people suspected, I'm not going to sit here and act like nobody saw this coming. A lot of people really felt like, okay, if you give Jalen Hurts something to work with, he's got enough extreme physical skills in some respects to overcome some of his other quarterbacking deficiencies. So that there were people that were pretty bullish on Jalen Hurts, and I think that might be the real deal. I'm not sold on their defense just yet.
With the Eagles, yeah. I mean, Kirk Cousins was doing everything he could to make that defense look elite last night. The second half of that game, Kirk Cousins sucks, man.
He sucks on Monday nights.
Seth, I'm looking at, I got a DM here from a loyal listener, Patrick. 60, you know what Kirk Cousins' record is right now? His record is a starting quarterback. Mm-hmm. 60-60-2. He is that line that you and I talk about, Seth. Remember, we anointed him with the Dalton line moniker.
Yeah.
He is that line. He is 60-60-2. And I'll tell you what. This is the scary thing about Davis Mills.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just pulled up his updated Monday night. We'll get to his Monday night football.
He's terrible. That's why I'm not.
Go ahead.
Real quick. I'm going to get back to Davis Mills. That's why I'm not angry about the shoddy prop bet that you gave me on Josh Allen rushing yards. Because I was way more invested betting against Kirk Cousins. the Josh Allen rushing yards prop bet was a pimple on what was a pretty good night last night. But back to Davis Mills. Last night, and I get it, it's one night with just two games, but I think it's right there in your face. As far as like in this day and age, the modern NFL with your quarterback, you need some degree of athleticism and superhero power if you're going to win games. Josh Allen is the gold standard for that. It'd be awesome if they found the next Josh Allen, but Josh Allen's the gold standard. Ryan Tannehill used to be athletic. He's not what he used to be. He's closer to Cousins now than he is to old Tannehill. But the Eagles game last night, I think, was a great example. Jalen Hurts. Still, he's a good thrower of the football, still not a great thrower of the football, but makes the throws that he needs to make. And, oh, by the way, he can destroy you with his legs.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins is just blah. He's Kirk Cousins. And when he's on the road and he's in prime time, and by the way, Davis Mills on the road and at home, you want to look at those splits? Yikes. He's a different dude at NRG Stadium than he is on the road, much like one Kirkuel Cousins.
Well, and I think honestly, too, If you start to talk about guys who aren't the, you know, perfect five-star candidates as far as quarterbacks go, I think the intangibles then weigh in really heavily.
Yes.
And Jalen Hurts has intangibles out the wazoo in terms of the way people talk about him. Kirk Cousins, everything when people talk about him positively, it always feels like they're describing like a star pupil who is not liked by his classmates. You know, like it's very surface level, kind of just resume quality type stuff versus Jalen Hurts, I think. Jalen Hurts is a football player. Yeah, whereas Kirk Cousins, I feel like Kirk Cousins is a computer program, whereas Jalen Hurts is a football player.
Dude, okay, you want to hear Davis Mills splits home and road?
Now, Davis Mills is?
Davis Mills splits home and road. Now, here's the thing. His record is not great in either place. It's 1-6-1 at home and 1-6 on the road. His touchdown to interception ratio at home, 14-1. His touchdown to interception ratio on the road, 4-9. His passer rating at home, understandably, because he's got almost no interceptions, 108. Passer rating on the road, 63.1. Last one, yards per attempt, 7.7 at home. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Not like elite, but it's like, it would be like top 10.
Well, plus that's a stat that like on like it's almost you want to be in the meaty part of the 7 yards anyway. Yeah. It's like it's not like 9 is better than 7. That 7.7 is fine.
7.7 yards per attempt at on the road, 5.2.
Yeah.
So
I think it's pretty obvious that they're cheating at home. So
they're banging trash cans.
Yes, there's a camera set up somewhere in the end zone,
yep.
And it's giving him cues as to what blitz is coming.
That's right. So someone's banging a trash can on the Jack Easterby's banging a trash can on the sidelines for Davis Mills.
I guess I don't want to be stat nerdy about this. My first thought is okay. Let me think real quick about opponents he's faced at home versus on the road and the fact that he's got still a pretty small sample size of work here. So I wouldn't read into it too much. He's still at the point where, including Sean, okay, the big one, that Bills game last year, which was in a deluge and was an historically bad performance in a lot of ways, that skews things quite a bit. So I'll let this season play out and see exactly how that.
We got no choice in that. Yeah. I mean that's several people have pointed that out. They're like, guys, what choice do we have other than to play this out with Davis Mills? They're going to roll with him this year. And my answer to that is yes, I agree with you. That's not going to stop me from having an opinion on where I think he is as a player and where I think he's going to be as a player after 17 games. He's regressed since last year.
Well, some people have reached out and said, hey, back off on Davis Mills. He's new and he's young and there's still time. Like, okay, if you're arguing that he needs time to prove himself, I agree 100%. If you want me to take it easy on him because, I don't know, he's young and clean-shaven, that's not going to happen. You've come to the wrong place. He's going to get criticized as a starting NFL quarterback. That's what he is. There are too many young quarterbacks these days who thrive in their second season for me to act like a guy who's stinking it up at quarterback isn't going to be criticized for it. Hopefully, he figures some of this stuff out and he gets it going. There are other people that want to blame Pep Hamilton. This is when I'll start blaming Pep Hamilton. When Davis Mills stops missing wide open players that Pep Hamilton has gotten open for him. There are guys that have been schemed open. It's the guys that haven't even earned their way open, but guys that have been schemed open that by Pep Hamilton that Davis Mills is just throwing widely erratically to. And so that's all Davis Mills. If Davis Mills starts throwing the ball accurately, then I'll gladly blame Pep Hamilton. But so far, I haven't seen that to be the issue. As far as conservative play calling or anything like that, I know people are complaining that Pep Hamilton's not pushing the ball down the field. They're right in the middle of the pack when it comes to throws of 20-plus yards. They don't have a ton of deep balls, but I think a lot of that's because teams just flat-out don't respect the Texans on offense, so they're playing very conservatively. And in those situations, it's very easy to take away the deep ball. If the Texans continue to run the way they started to look this past Sunday, then I think it'll open up some deep play action shots. It's just right now, Davis Mills is a limiting factor on that offense. The receivers are not ideal. It's just that even though they're not ideal, Davis Mills is missing those non-ideal receivers. They become much less ideal when you don't actually throw the football accurately to them.
Yep. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. John and Landry will jump in with us here in a few minutes. We'll find out what's going on In the Loop. There is one other question that we're still looking for answers on as Texan fans here that we were promised an answer on last week, and it continues to be one of the biggest mysteries surrounding this team. We will touch on that next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, we'll talk to John and Landry in just a few minutes, find out what's going on middays today on In the Loop. No Lovie Smith press conference today. There will be a Lovie Smith press conference tomorrow. No more information yesterday on what's going on with center Justin Britt, other than Lovie when he was answering a question about Scott Quesenberry, who started at center in place of Britt on Sunday. He referred to him as the backup center. So I don't know what to make of this Justin Britt thing at this point.
You referred to Quesenberry as the backup center?
Yes.
And Quesenberry, I thought, played well. I think he played better than Britt did in week one. That's not a fair apples-to-apples comparison because the Colts interior defensive line is very, very good. So I'm not saying that Quesenberry is definitively better than Justin Britt, but there certainly wasn't a drop off, and the Texans, for whatever it's worth, did run the ball a lot better in the second game. I think the running backs, well, Damian Pierce really is the Damian Pierce ran better himself. Damian Pierce and Rex Burkhead both left some yardage on the table in the first week. It wasn't really the offensive line's issue as much as you might think. So we sit here, and if the Texans were a better team, I think it would be a pretty big story that nobody knows why the starting center isn't playing. Like, Sean, I have a better idea of why every single person listening right now isn't playing center for the Texans than I do why their starting center isn't playing center for the Texans. I know why you're not the starting center for the Texans. I don't know why Justin Britt isn't the starting center for the Texans. I feel like that's not a normal course of events necessarily. I'd like to know why he's not starting for the Texans right now.
At all. Well, and what's weird is Lovie said last Friday in his Friday morning press conference that there would be more information coming later on Friday.
There has not been.
Not that I've seen. And I've got push notifications at the wazoo on people who would inform us of such things.
Look. We don't know what the situation or the ordeal is. I feel like if it were something very serious involving a family member or something, I feel like it would be appropriate at that point to actually divulge something of that nature, because it could be. It'd be more harmful, regardless. If this is, let's say hypothetically, this is just Justin Britt trying to figure out whether he wants to continue to play football or not. I wish him luck on that journey, but I also don't want to be dealing with that right now as a football team.
No.
I mean, is that where the Texans are right now? We don't have to, like, hope to, you know, pull a guy back into the fold so that they can go on to do what? This is not a team pushing for the brink of supremacy or anything.
No, well, and to your point earlier, and again, caveat everything with I hope it's nothing serious. That goes without saying. But he's not been a good football player here. Like that's the thing. Like we know this in the NFL. There's a sliding scale for guys who are really, really good at their jobs. Some of them get $230 million guaranteed while they're being sued by people. It is a meritocracy in the NFL. If someone's trying to give a sales pitch to Justin Britt to come back, and I'm not saying that's what's happening, but if we're waiting on him patiently to go through something here that's ultimately like his issue, it's not a family issue or something like that. It's just like you said, he's just clearing his head on the whole thing. Like he's just trying to figure out what it is he wants to do. You got to move on at some point. If that's the case, if it's something else, then it's something else. And we don't know what that is. I think we can all agree it's strange at this point. Like, this is it's a weird thing to not know what's going on with your center.
Do you think he's sitting on a dock somewhere staring out at water right now while he's petting a golden retriever next to him, just contemplating things?
Well, you yourself just said a half hour ago you were sitting on a bench looking at trees the other day trying to clear your head, right? And you saw a little zephyr of wind move a nest or something?
Yeah. I wasn't even trying to clear my head. I was trying to keep my head clear.
There you go.
I feel like I'm pretty much
preemptive
there for the most part
these days. Yeah. Yeah.
There's a little bit of mindfulness every day.
Yes.
Just trying to take it all in. There's a lot of, you know what, Sean? Yeah. I've been, you know what I've been doing is as I, I listen to a lot of YouTube stuff or watch a lot of YouTube stuff about the importance of, you know, getting technology out of my life. So, and I'm so devoted to it that I'm watching more and more YouTube.
Smart.
Devoted to just this.
Yeah.
This notion of keeping technology out of my life.
Circle of life, they call that.
But,
yes.
But there is, there's a matter of appreciating those incredible wonders that we have all around us that are absolutely free.
Mm-hmm.
And are there for the taking that sometimes we just forget about. Because I'm... Because I've got more YouTube videos to watch, damn it.
On how to keep my head clear.
I'll gladly go look at the clouds, but look at this queue. I've got a...
My head is swimming right now. With what? YouTube videos on how to clear my head.
Yes.
It's John Lopez.
It's John Lopez.
Hey,
how are you?
What's going on, John? How you doing?
I'm talking in the third person all of a sudden.
You should. You deserve
Jimmy
to.
Jimmy likes Elaine.
You deserve to.
Yes.
You deserve to. What's going on, man?
Oh, man. I am proud to tell you that I got a new phone as of this morning.
Okay.
I ordered a new phone.
Yeah.
Why are you just trolling? Pictures?
I went online. I got onto Verizon.
Yeah.
Scrolled to the new iPhone.
Yeah.
Kept scrolling.
Yeah, of course. Hater. iPhone hater. What did you get? A new...
Well, no, it's not here yet. I did it this morning.
Oh, you did? You ordered it?
Actually, when I was listening to you guys at 6:03 a.m.
Yeah.
Doing my normal stuff that I do at 6:03 a.m.
Yep.
I was just sitting there ordering a new phone.
Okay.
And listening to you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Did we have the death pool discussion at that point?
It was just... Was it?
We were talking Astros. No, we were trying to figure out what's the appropriate celebration song.
Yes. I'm getting the new Galaxy S20.
Okay.
Hallelujah and amen.
Great. Awesome. More green bubbles. Awesome. He's the only guy who's spoiling the group text right now with these
I've had this S9 for three and a half years.
Instead of just a little heart, I got to see like so-and-so loved the entire text, like the whole thing.
I love being special.
Oh, yeah. Evidently. No, Seth was referring to earlier, I forget how we got on the topic of a death pool. But Seth suggested doing one here at the station, and we were handicapping it. And Seth said you would be the favorite just based purely on age, probably.
I wouldn't argue that too much. I mean, there are a lot of sickly-looking people on this staff, though.
It's not a sickly... are we just talking about the on-air staff at 610, or are we talking about the building?
There's some people that got some real issues here.
But I would say our staff as a whole is probably as healthy as it's been in a long time.
It is. It actually is.
Yeah, it is.
I think,
I'm not saying we're ready to go do a triathlon as a group or anything.
But there
like
are some
that.
People that have some really bad things going on, man, in their lives.
Yeah.
Like Landry's got like all kinds of innards. He's got problems with his innards that he's working on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Wow, it's good.
They were talking death pool earlier, and I was the favorite, which I'll gladly accept.
No, I'll take it. But I've put a lot of work in on that. I haven't drank in 3 weeks. I quit caffeine. I'm partaking more in the CBD Delta 8 stuff.
Oh, that stuff's supposed to be really good.
And it's really kind of changed a lot of things for me. Like honestly, like it's incredible. Like
and then Figgy eats chips and Coke every morning for breakfast. So.
That's probably not good.
I will say if you're talking to like an insurance adjuster or something, they're not usually all that impressed by I haven't had a drink in 3 weeks. Usually the next question is like, oh, so you're keeping track, I see. Okay.
No, it was after the fantasy draft. It's easy to keep up with. But I just figured if I quit caffeine and alcohol, just see how it works. And the CBD, like I hit the CBD one day and I was like, holy crap. And I went and ran. Like I ran like 15 110s and was like, I feel great. So
that's a good workout. That's a good workout.
I feel
Landry's real, big feel into really the good. Intervals. When Landry gets into a workout, Jack, like he gets after it. He runs the bait. You run the outfield pole, the foul poles.
Yeah.
Like you do old school athletic hard workouts.
Yeah, it's kind of hit or miss though, because when I'm really hitting it, I'm really hitting it, and that's like 4 or 5 20 beer nights a week and whatever. So it's like. I'm trying to find a balance, but I just decided I'm going to try to limit the alcohol during football season. And the caffeine, I think the caffeine's just as bad for me.
Are you a big caffeine guy?
Yes. Like, I had to get my gallbladder out because of energy drinks. I was having like 10 a day.
That's okay. What I was referencing.
Yeah.
He's got
okay.
Innard problems.
Innard, I got you. Okay, okay. Yeah, I thought badly. He was having bathroom issues or something like
no,
that.
No, no, no.
All right, all right. What's going on the show today?
I got two words that people hate this early in the season, but I'm going to lay out a case, and I think anyone who might be skeptical about those two words, I think they might come onto my side of things.
Okay.
We're also going to talk to John McClain. He's going to give his grades. He's going to hike the leg. And yesterday, man, I was watching that game. I got to confess something. And Lopez has some optimism after watching last night, Monday Night Football.
Oh, optimism. Okay. Okay. That's good. That's because Monday Night Football last night scared the bejesus out of me.
Yeah.
I can't believe that the Texans play in the same league as the Buffalo Bills.
They don't look like they do.
They don't look like they play the same sport.
Or the Eagles. Eagles might be good.
Eagles look good, too. Yeah, Eagles look good, too. All right.
Play Freebird.
Yeah.
There we go.
Freebird. Seth, antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies to you, and I've got a taste now. I'm gonna go take my gallbladder for a walk with a Red Bull.
There you go. All right, we are done. We are out of time. We will be back tomorrow at 6 a.m.
That's like showing a heroin needle to a druggie right there.
Did you say stimulant?
Andrew Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig. They've got you till 2. Clint Sterner in the show, 2 to 6. We'll see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Till then. Have a great day, everybody.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.